The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So welcome again. Saying this again to Happy Hour. And I'm going to continue this series on the inner critic. I don't know how many weeks I've been doing this, but quite a few. And I think it's something that when I think about my life, when I think about my friend's life, when I'm in practice discussions with people, I just see how this is, it's not a unique thing. And then the more I kind of poke around, I see like there's been a lot of material written about this idea of the inner critic. So I'm not a psychologist, and nor am I, intending to be. But I think it's worthwhile for us to consider or address this, or maybe going forever. I'm going to say forever. I just read Aurora's message. Keep going, inner critic, forever. Well, I don't think we want the inner critic forever, right? We want to be working with the inner critic. But I forgot what I was going to say. But I did want to share that I just learned something recently. And that is this idea that, and I think psychologists have this idea, that we have our kind of perceived self, our actual self, what we are actually doing and that we're aware of. There's nothing complicated about that. But we also have this ideal desired self, how we kind of like wish we were. And we have this undesired self, this thing that we definitely don't want to be for whatever reason, for lots of reasons. Maybe I'll talk about that. So there, we have this way we perceive ourselves, then we have this undesired way and this desired way. And kind of like self-criticism can show up whenever there's a distinction between what we actually perceive ourselves and the desired ideal self and the undesired self. But one thing that was really interesting for me is that this idea of maybe sometimes like this shame can arise when we feel like we're getting too close to that undesired self. We feel like, oh, I'm going to turn into that person that I don't want to be. And the reason why we don't want to be this is because we often have in our minds, it's associated with these threats of rejection or these threats of being criticized by others. So we don't want to be this particular way because we feel this threat of criticism or threat of rejection or no longer belonging or whatever it might be. And something that's really interesting, for me it's interesting, is this whole idea of the threat of something untoward, difficult happening kind of has a physiological and psychological response in the same way as if, or a physical threat might affect us. And so there's ways that we respond when there are these threats. And so if one is kind of attack others, I mean, we're feeling frustrated and irritable because we're not being the way that we wish we were, and we're close to the undesired way. And maybe if we feel like, oh, my clothes aren't fitting as well, I've put on a few pounds. And if we feel like we're getting too close to the undesired self, we may lash out. Why did you insist that we go out so often? Do you see what happened to me? Or, why don't you? I don't know. There's so many ways that we can kind of like blame others and kind of lash out at them. And we can attack and blame ourselves. I should have done better. What's wrong with me? I'm not good enough. These types of things. And then a third is we just give up. It's hopeless. There's nothing I can do. I'm always going to make mistakes. There's no point in trying. I can't even do it. So it's kind of an interesting way for me to think about it, that it's when we feel like there's a threat then sometimes we can lash out at others, lash out at ourselves, or just give up. And so what we're going to be working on a little bit is this recognition that we can deal with disappointments differently. We don't have to necessarily feel like this threat is going to happen and that then we're going to lash out. But instead, we can have this recognition that, you know, we can't avoid failures and disappointments. We just can't avoid it. It's part of what it means to be a human. But can we acknowledge them? Yep, I made a mistake. I hurt that person. I haven't been to the gym in years. The pandemic happened and I never went back. I've gained weight. I don't meditate, you know, whatever it might be. I burned the dinner, you know, whatever it might be. But can it be that we can acknowledge them and be kind and supportive to ourselves? So rather than this feeling, this threat that we're going to get criticized by others or we're going to get shunned or people aren't going to like us anymore or something like that, can we soften that and instead allow be kind and supportive to ourselves? Because there's a part of us that knows this too, that a part of success is learning how to just fail and to deal with those disappointments. Because, you know, not failing isn't an option. It's just what happens when you're a human. But sometimes we think that it's not, you know, it shouldn't ever happen. So I don't know, maybe this is helpful to have this this framework or maybe way of thinking about it, that it's because there's this threat that we might, that we like our, we don't have access to our greatest wisdom. We don't have access to our greatest kindness or compassion towards ourselves because we're feeling threatened. So is there a way in which we can let ourselves know that, okay, if even if we are getting closer to this undesired self, it's okay. We're okay. It doesn't mean we're perfect. But we don't have to be perfect either. So that's what I'd like to talk about today. And so, or maybe I did talk about, I should say, but we'll do some loving kindness practice and we'll then do a little bit of compassion for ourselves. And we've been doing compassion for ourselves and we're doing this fierce compassion too. And this fierce compassion includes in some ways, visualizing that there's a part of ourselves that's criticizing us, lashing out, attacking us. And then there's another part of ourselves saying, thank you for trying to help, but that's not helpful. So that's kind of like the fierce compassion is like drawing boundaries and maybe talking back. If this works for you and makes sense for you, fantastic. If it doesn't, fantastic, right? Just if it works, it works. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. Don't feel like all of these things have to really resonate with you and make sense for you or something like this. So I'll be offering a few phrases. And again, just an encouragement to use what is helpful and leave behind what's not helpful. And be careful if there's this little inner critic that arises like, oh, this should resonate, but it doesn't. Therefore, it means this about me or, you know, no need to do that. Okay, so let's do some meditation. Taking a posture that's your meditation posture. It supports a sense of being present, being alert, and being relaxed. Can we be embodied? Inhabit the body. In whatever way that makes sense for you. Feeling into this moment. Allowing the attention to rest on the sensations of breathing. And when we've discovered that the mind has been wandering, that's a great time to practice with this kind of acceptance and allowing. Sometimes we might be tempted to be a little bit harsh and yank the mind back to the breath. Can we just very gently, simply begin again with the sensations of breathing? And then to begin our loving kindness practice, bringing to mind a lovable being, someone or some being that helps elicit this sense of warmth or kindness, care, respect, love, benevolence, goodwill, whichever words resonate with you. And whomever this being is, whether it's somebody in your life now, whether it's a furry or feathered creature, whether it's somebody that you don't know but touches your heart in some way, you don't know and means you don't have a relationship with them, but their writings or their teachings touch you. Bringing this lovable being to mind. Connecting with them. And to support a warm-hearted connection, we can repeat these phrases with the lovable being in mind. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Can we tune into, sink into any warm-hearted, caring feeling that's arising? Perfectly fine if it's not there, but if there is, can we tune into it? Allow ourselves to be saturated by it. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Tuning into the bodily sensations. If there's any feeling of warmth or openness or spaciousness, even if it's just a portion of your experience, can you tune into that? And then to expand our loving kindness to include ourselves. Of course, we do loving kindness for ourselves. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Can we allow ourselves to be saturated with this warm-heartedness? And then to do some work with it, to support the being with difficulties so that we don't feel threatened that others are going to criticize us. So for this, bring to mind a difficulty in your life. The difficulties on a scale of 1 to 10. Choose something that's mild, like a 2 or a 3. And I'll offer some phrases. You can use whichever resonates with you. May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. I know you're trying to help, but it's not helpful. I know you're trying to help, but it's not helpful, you might say to the inner critic. It's a way of fierce compassion. I'm doing the best I can right now. I'm doing the best I can right now. I'm in the process of learning new ways, and this takes time. I'm in the process of learning new ways, and this takes time. May this difficulty be helmed with kindness and ease. Saying to the inner critic, I know you're trying to help, but that's not helpful. I'm doing the best I can right now. I'm in the process of learning new ways, and this takes time. So this idea that when we feel like we're headed in the direction towards this undesirable self, that we feel threatened. We feel threatened that people might criticize us or reject us, or maybe we even feel threatened that we'll criticize and reject ourselves. And then there's in response to this threat, there's kind of like this lashing out or some blaming or attacking, and whether that's obvious or subtle, quiet or loud. But that might be part of the what fuels or is underneath or behind this inner critic. So it's part of our natural response that when we feel threatened, there's a way in which we want to do something. Of course, lashing out doesn't help. So part of this practice is there a way in which we can meet some of the ways that we feel disappointed in ourselves, or the way that we feel like we're not our ideal selves? Can we meet that with some kindness? Because we are going to make mistakes. There's no avoiding it. Even though we wish we would, of course, right? It's just what the human life is. So it can be helpful to talk about some of these ideas together. So I'd like to put you into some breakout rooms now, where you can discuss this idea of maybe like this threat, even though I might say this threat is subtle, right? It's not obvious. And it may even not even be at the front of our mind or in our conscious mind necessarily, but this feeling that, oh no, all these bad things are going to happen is a way that maybe has us behave or in a way that maybe isn't for our best interest, or just lashing out in some kind of way. Okay, so you'll be in groups of three or four, and it can be helpful to just say one point and then allow the next person to speak, and then say one more point and then allow the next person to speak, so that everybody has an opportunity to say something. And so you don't have to feel like you have to give a long story, your deepest, darkest secrets or something like this. But instead, this is an opportunity for us to express or share, or in our actions, some of this warmth and kindness we've been cultivating. So we're working with the inner critic, but also this warmth and kindness, you know, leaks out of us. So maybe that's a way in which some of what can happen in these breakout rooms. So in order to make it helpful to like who goes first and who goes second, I'll suggest that you go in alphabetical order. Oh, no, wait, I often do alphabetical. What if we do reverse alphabetical? Is that too complicated? Maybe you just do alphabetical and then you realize, oh, no, wait, let's try reverse alphabetical. Oh, let's see, I need to do a little. Maybe I just scared them away. Some people just left. Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Okay, so welcome back. Does anybody have a comment or question or something they'd like to share after the breakout group? Maybe were there any aha moments or something that was inspiring or touching?
Yeah. Hi there.
Hi, Ali.
Hi. Yeah, it was interesting, kind of like aha moment. Yeah, because the two gentlemen I was with, they were speaking, and then the inner critic always, like what you were saying, is just always likes to protect us. But then the other side, perhaps living in the left brain, who knows? But then the right side, you know, the self-compassion comes in and just tries to, you know, just tell it, hey, hold on a minute. This is the first time I'm seeing this. This may not be related to the past events. So I'm seeing this situation for the first time. I don't need to go there.
Nice. I'm seeing this for the first time. Great. I love it. Thank you.
I mean, yeah, it wasn't from me. It was from actually Hugh. I'll give that credit to him.
Thank you. It's nice though. Yes, Rain.
I just want to say a huge thank you to this group. I'm so grateful I got to be here rather than a really stressful, I don't know why they take you to an emergency room, which is usually long waiting. It's just not the environment I heal in. And this has been the environment for me to heal. I can just feel was squeezing my legs and muscles, and I'm like, yeah, they're already feeling better. So thank you.
Mm, nice, nice. Thank you for sharing that, Rain. Okay.
Sorry, Diane, could I just ask you one thing?
Yeah.
Those three phrases were really great. Could you just say them once more as kind of a benediction or a blessing?
The four phrases that I use for the inner critic?
No. I'm trying to change some really difficult behavior, and it's going to take time. You said something to that extent. You had several phrases that were really great.
May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. That's the first one. Second is like speaking to the inner critic. I know you're trying to help, but that's not helpful. I'm doing the best I can right now. And I'm in the process of learning new ways, and this takes time.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Okay. So it's the top of the hour. So if you'd like to unmute and we can say goodbye together. So
goodbye, Peggy.
Bye, everyone. Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye, Jesse.
Bye, Diane. Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you, Peggy.
Bye,
Peggy.
Bye, Hugh. Bye, Diana.
Bye, everybody. Bye, Trudy.
Diana. Bye-bye.
Bye, Trudy.
Thanks, Diane.